The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Unleashed. I'm your Joyologist and humble host, Colleen Greco. And today I am thrilled to invite Sharon Rose to the show. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Colleen. Hello, everybody.
How are you today?
You know, it was one of those kind of wacky, wild mornings for sure. My youngest son, we'd got notice. He had a 2-hour delay, and we're sort of, because of where we live, it's you know, weather patterns are very drastically different 10 miles down the road. So we're like, what? And then we get a notice. Oh, it's a 3-hour delay. I'm like, what is going on? So here I am. I'm so happy to be here in the midst of, you know, that kind of ever-changing reality of life.
Oh, I know. You have a plan, right? And then something comes in the side door and you're like, what just happened? Well, first of all, just know you can always reschedule, because I understand life happening, but I'm glad we're having this conversation today. And by the way, if we both bomb it, you could just delete it. No one will ever know.
Love that.
Yeah, exactly. That. We'll take a moment for those that we've got hooked now, to just introduce yourself. You know, we have a mix of listeners and viewers, because it's a TV show and a podcast. So I would love for you to let people know who Sharon is.
Sure. So Sharon Ann Rose is a award-winning author. I've been working with women for over 25 years in the landscape of supporting that, you know, female wisdom, that feminine body, that place inside of us that quite simply has been absolutely downtrodden in our culture. And so I show up to really midwife, you know, at that soul level, women through, you know, potent threshold moments, like they're standing at the precipice of great change, wondering, how do I become, you know, a totally new woman, but I'm still holding on to the former woman that I was. So I show up in that really potent capacity to help women move through thresholds like divorce, job change, menopause, mothering, when life, you know, your family is just totally falling apart and going sideways, your deeper calling, mission, et cetera. And so I'm really honored to be here in many different roles and capacities. And my absolute most favorite is really reclaiming, you know, that potent wisdom inside.
That is beautiful. And I am so thankful that you're here, because there's so many, first of all, the audience listening is 65% women. Mm-hmm. And they are well within that range that, you know, you organically just work with. And so there's going to be a lot of people that need to hear what you have to say today. And I'm grateful to have you on so that I can learn from you as well. So I would love to first, because I get too into these interviews and I forget to ask my favorite question.
That you put in the
By the way, I have like a technicality. I forgot to ask you my favorite question, which is, what brings you joy? Tell us, you know, what does joy mean to you? How would you define it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was reflecting on that because you included that in the pre-survey. And I loved, you know, like just getting asked, what does joy mean to you? And right away I went to, it is really personal. It's very intimate for me. And, you know, it can be as simple as right now, I'm looking out the window and just seeing the way the sky, you know, is changing with these colors over the trees and on the horizon. And that brings me such immense joy to pause and take a look at that. It's such, you know, it for me, it's that kind of a quickening almost that I'll feel inside in the midst of life where suddenly, and I don't mean fast, like that I'm quickening. I mean, literally like something in me kind of flutters like a butterfly or this, you know, trembling sensation that I might not always call pleasure. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know how they say fear is excitement hiding. You know, that to me is joy when I can feel life tugging kind of at my hand or at my heels, being like, go towards this moment or go towards this situation or let yourself just lean in and experience kind of that trembling goosebumps. You know, I'm even feeling some right now as I speak of that's joy, you know, to me. And it feels very personal, like a friend or a lover that I'm cultivating a relationship with. And also then not putting in a box, not saying joy means I've always got a smile on my face and I'm really happy. No, joy is that also for me in the moment when I feel like I can't go on and there's something that just lightly, you know, whether it's a whisper kind of moves over my skin like air to say, yeah, like you're here, you're sustaining. The next moment will come and you're going to make it. You know, that's joy. That's joy too.
Okay. So I hope people understand very clearly how you could be an author. Just the way that you're like, I'm like, am I falling asleep right now? Like, not that you're boring, by the way. I'm not saying that. It's like a warm blanket. Like, oh, I'm being rocked to sleep just with your words. They're magnificent. And I actually wanted to share a little bit about what you said in the survey. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of a setup, I guess. But you said, joy to me looks like a river. Mm-hmm. And that just like struck me. And you said, no beginning, no end, one moment merging into the next without distinction, eddies flowing into soft, still peaks with movement emerging from the underbelly, the currents as they rise to the surface, awakening flow over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, that was beautiful, as was what you just said. But as I was reading that, I was like, I can't breathe right now. That was so beautiful. So thank you for including that. Wow. I just want to take this in so many directions. So, but you're right. You know, joy can coexist in the midst of trauma or tragedy or pain or suffering. You are not, you know, unilateral. Right. You have many things going on at any one point, but you can still be grounded and rooted in joy and have an appreciation for the art form that is joy. It isn't the same for everyone. It is, you know, a state of mind. It is very much personal though. And it's very much, you know, I always describe it as like when I walk my dogs in the middle of winter and I'm freezing and I'm like, I don't want to be out here. Or I can, you know, tap into the energy they have and they're frolicking and chasing after a bunny or a squirrel or something and seeing the fun and the lightheartedness of that. So it's like you can choose to direct your energy. Where is it going to go? And I choose the lighter, the more fun, the more like immediate or present opportunity rather than, you know, the temperature outside.
So well stated. So, and like even just listening to you, like the words you used of art form, like it's a form of art. And And I appreciate you reminding me of river, because that for me, when you ask that question, it's like joy is continuous and I either tap in or I don't. This is not something that I have to do anything special to make it happen in my life. It's there. And like you just said, you know, and then when you do realize like, oh, look at these dogs who could care less about the cold and snow, that can be the river I tap into to access it.
Yeah, because they get it.
Personally.
Yeah. They get it. And I love, you know, just the work that you do with women who are at these, you know, crossroads, for lack of a better term. They're at these decision points where, you know, in many cases, many women choose to stay small. They choose not to make that leap. We let fear guide our decision-making, and how that puts us more into a scarcity mindset than a mindset of abundance and the art of what's possible. So maybe take us through, you know, maybe a current example of a client where, you know, they were at this crossroads and the steps they had to take to really get themselves over that hump and make that leap. And then what I would imagine is nothing but excitement and gratitude for the fact that they did it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a new client I just started working with, and, you know, she's at this moment where life from inside of her is saying, nothing you've formerly done works anymore. And we all know that moment, don't we? Mm-hmm. And hers is like happening in all realms, her marriage, her work, her mothering, her sense of herself, you know, feeling like she was once really confident, and she's, you know, quite a successful, professional, well-accomplished businesswoman. And here she's like, oh my God, I don't even know, like, if what I'm saying has value anymore, like that level of complete questioning of everything. And so when she came in for a session recently, just beside herself, you know, literally in that kind of quaking tears of, I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to be me. And, you know, what I often do with others is just that simple, what even we were just talking about, how do you tap into kind of the stillness inside where it's not the rumbling volcano, you know, on the surface, you go down below. And I do that through breath. I do that through meditation, presencing, and guided visualization. So I just brought her literally maybe for 5 minutes into feeling herself in her own body, hand on her belly and heart, breathing. And, you know, when she walked in, she's like, oh my God, I think I'm getting divorced. You know, like, we're supposed to be going on a vacation tomorrow. This is the last thing I want to be doing. I don't know how to do it. She taps into her breath. I watch her literally, her head go back. She relaxes into the chair, just, you know, and I hear everything slow down. And, you know, maybe 5 minutes of that, she comes out and we just start having a more, when I say sane, I don't mean that, you know, I just mean like we have a more sane, a more centered conversation about her marriage, about some of these other things. And she just sits there going, oh my God, I couldn't even see that perspective.
Yeah.
She walks out of there, you know, 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, looking forward to going on the vacation, looking forward to like the next moment in her marriage, looking forward to her mothering, you know, like the whole kit and caboodle. And we know that, you know, this isn't something that just bam, it's there forever. Like you described with walking your dogs, it's like suddenly that cold's going to come again. And, you know, she's, you know, what, that's what we're working on over and over again. How do you come into your own body, breathe, slow down, tap into the current, and see, like, there's a 180, you know, degree change you do just by presencing, you know, into the moment and into yourself and your breath.
Yes. And when you have that level of alignment, just the, it's almost like you step outside of yourself and you're able to have a much more like objective view of who you are and what your situation is. My husband and I were on a vacation a few weeks ago, and one of the first that we've had ever alone, which was so nice just to barely have to take care of each other, just be. And there was something that popped up, and of course I won't remember what it is, and it doesn't even matter, but I said, hey, I said, this is actually a really good moment for us to just talk about for a second, you know, because we're not in a rush to get anywhere. And I said, what you said, there was literally nothing wrong with, but here's how I heard it. And I know that's not what you meant, but if you had just pivoted that just a tiny little bit, it would have landed perfectly. And realizing that his delivery, there was nothing wrong with it. In my receipt, there was nothing wrong with it. But at some point, there was just a little kink in the chain. And what normally would have maybe set me off and gotten him in trouble. And vice versa, by the way, this actual example just happened to be that direction, but it very much also happens the other way. And now if you're not really present in trying to, you know, focus and understand on the other person, how very different the outcome is. And it was just such a beautiful moment for us to be able to say, wow, we do that a lot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And isn't that like such a joyful celebration when you're able together with someone so meaningful to you, to, you know, to dismantle that like place we
get. Yeah. And so next time he, you know, does something similar, it should, in theory, connect and say, wait a second, don't forget that little pivot that she told you, and it lands. Nothing's happened since. So I don't have the empirical data to say for sure, but really important, you know, moment, and, you know, also causes you to think about how you deliver things. I know based on, you know, 22 years of marriage, if I say it this way, he's going to get up and walk out of the room. So how do I say it differently in a way that he can receive it? Right. So really powerful. Sometimes we take our own advice, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. I know, because I was just thinking, you know, of your example and knowing like what also will happen is next time you too will go, oh, right. Last time he told me he didn't mean it that way. And then it will also kind of soften your own, you know, capacity to just then receive what he's presenting. And yeah, my husband and I, so we've been together 26 years.
26? Amazing.
And we do this practice called 5-5-5-5. So we try to do it on Sundays. And we each take 5 minutes and one person just talks for 5 minutes. No interruption, no rebuttal, no crosstalk. That's it. And it seems like so basic and simple. And then we go back and forth. Each person gets, you know, a total of 10 minutes, but you go 5-5-5-5. And we just did it yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. And again, it was so fascinating because I was talking about myself, some really deep terrain I was in. And again, he doesn't have to, during his 5 minutes, do anything to correct that. And yet he said some really profound things that came from his listening of me. And I just took it in so deeply. I was in tears. He hit a place, I don't know yet. Do you know that I've seen him acknowledge in me? And again, 5 freaking minutes.
Yeah, the power of listening and being very active and present.
So
right there.
Beautiful. Yep. And such a joy-filled moment, you know, for speaking about joy. But I was in tears. You know, my heart was doing that, like, oh, you just probably touched one of the deepest wounds in me. And oh my God. Yeah. So grateful. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And little side note, by the way, if he were to leave his socks next to the hamper, you wouldn't even see that.
Exactly.
You like nailed it. Right. So like, guys, it is the little things. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask is, you know, we kind of went through before we connected was what encourages you to keep going when things don't go the way that you'd hope? Because I know people listening have that situation going on right now. So I know they would love any of your wisdom.
And I would say I'm a queen of that. And again, one might, you could look at it many different ways. It could just simply be my perspective that I really see when things don't go the way I want because I want what I want. So I'm very well versed in what for me felt like, oh my God, I failed again. Oh my God, I didn't get it right again. And so now what's beginning to happen is I've befriended her. I've befriended that part that is the first one to come at myself and think I have control over the universe and it should have gone down differently. And I should have been wise, you know, bold enough to give myself everything that I thought I wanted. And so just befriending her softens everything and allows when those moments of like, oh, that little girl's like, oh, I didn't get what I wanted, you know, like the ice cream flavor, or I dropped my ice cream cone and it melted all over the ground, to go, oh yeah, but guess what? You can go get another one, you know, and now yeah. It's going to be an even better flavor because there's an inner dialogue happening where I'm noticing my internet might be going in and out a tiny bit. No,
not okay. For me. Nope. Okay. You look great.
Where I'm noticing I don't have to be at war in myself over the part of me that wants what I want. And then the part of me that's actually really connected to the bigger, vaster, wiser universe that even knows even more about what I really want, you know? And so those parts now can have way kinder conversations and, you know, walk each other well through those thresholds when in the past I would have thrown a tantrum, shamed myself, collapsed, given up. And now they're softer. And they're also not, you know, because there's other patterns too. And I've watched this again and again, especially in the field of empowered women's movement. You know, like there's a lot of like, come on, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, get out there, be bold, be brave, use your voice. That has a place. But there's also a place when we're thrashing ourselves to do that. And that can't work. It has to come from like that inner kindness that knows actually we're holding back and we do want that, not one that says we have to go after that. You know,
right. It doesn't have to be like an anger-filled rage or a scream fest. It could just gently be, this is what I want. And by stating that, how you attract that. I was just having this conversation. I literally just hung up with this coaching client before I got on this call. And she was talking about one of these limiting beliefs is from the man that she bought the business from, who she worked with for a long time before she bought the business. And so obviously he was the boss and his kind of like persona didn't go away when he sold her the business. In fact, he's retired now and rather bored. And so comes back every, I don't know, week or every other week or whatever it is. And just kind of like gives her little jabs, like little pokes. And she's like, I can't get to the root of what it is. And I said, well, let's invite that in. Let's look at that as a mirror. This is an opportunity. You are meant to learn something from him, which is why he's getting under your skin. Your body is out of alignment. You are meant to learn this lesson. What is it? And we talked about her fear of failure and her fear of, you know, not being able to run the business the way he had. And I said, well, how about if we kind of look at this with a childlike curiosity and we look at it like Netflix. You remember Netflix used to be a DVD mailing service and you'd like get one and then you'd mail it back and then you'd get another one and then you'd mail it back. And then it was like, no, we'll just mail you one every X number of days. And then it became this streaming service that I have to have 5,000 different shows at my disposal at all times. And actually, I kind of want to watch them all at the same time. All different visions, but all correct. And so how do you know that your business isn't following that Netflix model that he maybe was the DVD mailer service? And when he passed the baton, you brought it into this streaming era. What if you are bringing your business to the next level in a different way than he would have, because you're a different person and you have you know, your clients need different things, and it's just a different era. Neither one of them are wrong. And I feel like her head exploded when I said that. She was like, it never occurred to me that I could be right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love what I do, because it's like to be able to kind of be like, okay, bye. We're just going to talk later. You know, go dig into that for a while, because only she knows, but you've got to be able to, you know, like see yourself from different angles. And sometimes you can, and that's why people need you and I to be able to, you know, kind of present different options. Now, truth be told, could her vision be incorrect? Mm-hmm. Possibly, but nobody knows right now. So mm-hmm. let's not focus on that. Let's focus on it very much could be right. And when you lead with your heart, it will only take you in the right direction.
Mm. Oh, bravo. Even as you're describing that, I'm just like exhaling, you know, and I can only imagine, like when you said her mind just blew. And, you know, I love that term, because really we want to blow our mind wide open. Yeah. We want our mind to just get all messy, all like, you know, a creative palette of color, so that we can then go, oh, now I want to paint with green and blue instead of, I was always painting with like black and brown, you know, again, yeah, you didn't even wrong know, with it.
You didn't know green was an option. You're like, green? Wow. Right? It's so fun.
Totally fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk for days.
Okay. Let's paint this mosaic mural with all the colors we got. Hmm.
Now, one of the other things that we had toyed around talking about that I just have to ask, because you did put it in the survey, and I'm like, I want to go there. As you age and change, because this is where she's kind of at, what's more important to you now?
Yeah, you know, so even going back to that last question of not getting what I wanted, you know, and earlier in my 30s, I was even at kind of what I thought was the peak, you know, of my career, and had just published a book, et cetera. And things really started to fall apart after that, and personally, like in my family life and whatnot. So here's that pivotal moment of, you know, and it's now been 7 years since so much of, I call it, the dismantling of my life happened, where I've had to ask that question like almost daily. Mm-hmm. What actually fulfills me now? What actually do I want? What actually, and that I, even that relationship with I is really different.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more confident that actually, you know, before when I would say, oh, I really want my whole family to be happy. That would come from a younger version. And now when she's like, I actually want the world to thrive, that comes from a very empowered, really much more grounded, standing in herself, her individual self, wise woman, knowing like that matters to me. It matters so much more beyond my individual little self being a best-selling author or getting on Oprah or whatever I would have thought really didn't matter to me. Yeah. What does matter, you know, is this way that who I am as a woman lines up, and that gorgeous word I've heard you use a lot, where I am so in alignment with my body, my wisdom, the roots of what I was born into, that can serve, you know, that I know when I die that I made this world a much better place and helped all the people, thousands, millions, trillions of people, including, you know, creatures, plants, and the earth, from that place in me. Like, I know that now. And so I can't spend any more time in the frivolous, like, oh, I want to be, and you know, I don't say that rudely. Like, I just want to be seen. I just want to make a name for myself. Like, no, I could care less about making a name for myself. I want to help humanity, you know, again, from a place where I'm aligned, not going against my own wisdom, truth, and, you know, and health and vitality and my basic needs. Like, no.
I was playing around with this thought yesterday as I was journaling about, you know, the brain not being fully developed until you're about 25. I was like, I don't think mine is fully developed now. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. I hope all of this unlearning and unpacking and, you know, alignment work in the fact that I, same thing, I'm trying to leave the world a much better place than where I found it. And if I can teach people to learn these lessons earlier than my 49 years, then amen, I have, you know, accomplished great things. Mm-hmm. I really hope my brain never stops developing. The day that happens, I really hope it's my last day. And just as you're talking too, like it, I file that under the same concept that, you know, we're just lifelong students. And I don't think I have it in me to stop learning.
I love that. I celebrate that. Yeah.
I think you're cut from the same cloth. That's why.
And you're pointing out all the, and I don't mean failures of thinking, but you're reminding me, you know, my thinking even 10 years ago was more of like, let me get to the end goal, which is much more of a static brain, you know, pattern of like, you're getting to some climax, you're getting to some, you know, point on the mountain, and you're thinking it's the top, and you're like, no. Once you get to the top, man, it is so good to walk down, you know, and like feel that, and then oh, there's another mountain, and that place in the brain to just be like, yep, keep climbing, keep descending, keep ascending. Like, do not do the plateau aspect of the brain anymore, because that is finite, and that is what will lead to, you know, mental decline, as well as decline across all aspects of our lives, our relationships, our, you know, our creativity, our work, our business, and then what we can do to serve the world.
Now, I've gotten so into this conversation, as usual, I have been remiss at sharing some pretty important information with the listeners and viewers. So first, I want to make sure we share your Instagram. You can follow Sharon on Instagram at SharonAnn.Rose. So make sure that dot is in between Anne and Rose. But I'd also love you to take a minute, if you could, to talk about this event that you have coming up soon called Reclaiming Your Creative Power. And I know it's available on your website, SharonAnnRose.com, but maybe you could give people a little juicy tidbit that has them needing to search for more.
Yeah, you bet. So next month, in the month of April, depending on when this podcast will be shared, I am collaborating, you know, and this goes back to some of what we were talking about. I'm collaborating with a beautiful singer-songwriter. And we came at it from different angles, but we both had kind of this peak career moment that absolutely collapsed and took us in really different directions. Mine as an author and writer, hers as a singer and songwriter. So, you know, the title may change a little bit because we're still in that gorgeous, you know, incubation of some of the refined things, but it really is about what happens in the downward spirals of our lives and how we can fuel, you know, using creative wisdom, creative power, you know, creative regeneration and resiliency to stay with it and keep going, you know, from that. Yeah, from all the things we just spoke about, how you plug into joy, how you plug into, you know, again, that word resiliency and your own fuel. And it's going to be an intro event with opportunity to go deeper with us along this path. And you can find out more by signing up for my newsletter on my website, SharonAnnRose.com, as well as on my social media on Instagram. We'll be doing some lives and certainly some posts with information.
Beautiful. And there's Instagram again. And then the website, SharonAnnRose.com. Sharon, this has been just a delightful conversation. What a great way to start the week. I don't feel guilty at all.
I'm savoring every moment. Thank you, Colleen. You are such a treasure. I'm so honored by what you're doing in the world.
Thank you. Same. It's been an amazing conversation. And that was the latest episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. What a beautiful conversation we just had with Sharon. And I'd love to repeat what she said about how she defined joy, in that it was like a river and it ebbed and it flowed and it had eddies, and just how magnificent that type of explanation is, and visualization maybe is the better word. As you think about joy, think about what in nature really sparks that for you. Where is it that you feel the most centered, the most grounded? Is it the mountains? Is it the ocean? Is it just being on your back deck? Is it watching videos of nature on YouTube if you feel like you just can't make it outside today? Whatever it is, nature has a really important connection to us and our healing. So I encourage you today to seek out the pieces and parts of nature that mean the most to you. Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.